One of the things that I want us to see when we're looking at Joshua 13 and 14 here, and you look at the division of the lands, do you notice they're not all exactly the same? That there's some that have gotten quite a big chunk of land, such as Judah and Manasseh, where Benjamin, look at Benjamin there. And we have to wonder sometimes even, and this is worth giving consideration to, how come God divided the land up that way? And again, if God did it, we know that it was right. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm having Elder Shitton come up. And he's going to read through us the full verses, chapter 13 and 14. And we've already looked at some of 13, and then we're going to discuss some of the things. Charles.
Let's go to God's Word. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It is counted as Canaanite. There are five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of Avin in the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira that belongs to the Sidonians, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Jebelites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon, to Lebo-Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Misrephoth-Maim, even all the Sidonians. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them, beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland of Medeba as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon as far as the boundary of the Amorites, and Gilead and the region of the Geshurites and the Machathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan to Seleca, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei. He alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. These Moses had struck and driven out. Yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Machathites, but Geshur and Machath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. To the tribe of Levi alone Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the people of Reuben according to their clans. So their territory was from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland of Medeba, with Heshbon and all its cities that are in the tableland, Dibon, and Bamoth-Baal, and Beth-Baal-Meon, and Jehaz, and Kedemoth, and Mephbeth, and Kirathaim, and Sibma, and Zereth-Shahar on the hill of the valley, and Beth-Peor, and the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth-Jeshimoth, that is, all the cities of the tableland, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses defeated with the leaders of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zor, and Hur, and Reba, the princes of Sihon, who lived in the land. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the one who practiced divination, was killed with a sword by the people of Israel among the rest of their slain. And the border of the people of Reuben was the Jordan as a boundary. This was the inheritance of the people of Reuben, according to their clans, with their cities and villages. Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribe of Gad, to the people of Gad, according to their clans. Their territory was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the Ammonites, to Aroer, which is east of Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah, and Bethonim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir, and in the valley Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Sukkoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, having the Jordan as a boundary, to the lower end of the sea of Chinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the people of Gad, according to their clans, with their cities and villages. And Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half-tribe of the people of Manasseh, according to their clans. Their region extended from Mahanaim through all Bashan, the whole kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for the half of the people of Machir, according to their clans. These are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as he said to them. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel, gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, with their pasture lands, for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua of Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war.
This is important to the work that God is doing, to the promises that he has done, some of them that he's already accomplished. Again, we look at this first part, and again, remember I spoke through the first part of chapter 13 a couple of weeks ago with the fact that Joshua had not done all that he has been supposed to do. And he was old and tired now. How there's this phrase, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years." That's like saying, you know, today, "You're really, really, really old." You know, the way we say it today. And there was a lot to be done. So again, I remind you that it's now time. The people had not taken this land yet, and yet the land was now to be given to them. It was apportioned out to them, and the boundaries that are set here, again, if you just read it, everybody's lost. You go, I don't get any of it. But if you read it, and then you look down on the map and see, again, in chapter 13, he's speaking to all these areas east of the Jordan. That would be East Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben there. These are the three that he's speaking of there. Those were promised beforehand, and some of these people had already set up camp there before Joshua ever crossed the Jordan, if you remember that. The men of war still went with them to fight in the war and continue to do so. But now it's time to allot it. Again, so that the people will be more spurred in their hearts to move on to what God's already promised them. He's promised them this grand inheritance, and one of the things to make it more real is to say, and it's going to be from here to here to here, because these people didn't know all this land either, by the way. They knew the part that they'd already come through, or some of it. But they had not been through all the rest of this. This was yet to be claimed. But he's telling them, it's from this city to this city. And they knew of this city. It's the same as we might know of different places in, like, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Reno, Nevada. These will be the borders to which, you know, you can work. But God did this with a thing. And in the very first part there, in chapter 13, verse 6, it says, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon as far as Mishpereth Meim and all the Sidonians, I will drive them out before the sons of Israel. Only allotted to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now the key thing I want you to understand here and keep holding on to is this fact that keeps coming up again and again. God says, I will drive them out. If you go with me, remember, whose war is this? This is not Israel's war. This is God's war. It's God's war. And we saw the very picture of the one captain who was Christ, who came and was the general of the defeat. And we see this wonderful picture of God saying, I will drive them out, and you do what I have commanded you. That's all God has ever asked of us, that we do what he has commanded us. And again he says in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, if you do the things that I command you, I will bless you. Jesus says, if you do what my Father commands you, you can call me friend. Not only can you call me Lord and Savior, but you can call me friend. Now, and again, I'm not trying to equate this with living a perfect life, because none of us can. We all know that. We can't live the perfect life. But we can do better than we do, often. We can strive harder than we have. We can desire and make effort to live our lives in such a way that it reflects the glory of God more fully to those in our families and those around us. So he goes on through this reading. And again, I want you to try doing some of this this afternoon, at least for some of you who are more eager in these things, to look through some of the things that are being read as Charles read. I should have told him to read a little slower so you could kind of get in there. He did such a fine job. I was dancing around real quick myself. But look where these places are at. As you read one, mark it off. Take a pencil and underline. That's why I gave you the map, so you can play with them and mark them off and know who ended up with what. Again, we don't know, and we'll never know exactly all the reasons why all of them got the land, exactly where they got it, but there are some that we'll look at. Another interesting thing that I wanted us to consider here was the tribe of Levi. Oh, the Levite. Because he says it three or four times in here, at least three. I think it may have been four. Only to the tribe of Levi, he did not give an inheritance. All kind of. The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance as he spoke to them. The offerings that come in, these were their inheritance as they come in. He says it again. I'm trying to see where he says it. Okay, further down at the end of 13, he says, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised to them. And by the way, these were the ones who were the priests. These were the ones who did, quote, the work of God in that sense. And we have to understand this, that these were still more or less, they were apportioned lands. I mean, it's not like they were vagrants. They had cities given to them. They had care taken for them. But they didn't get what was called an earthly inheritance because they had a greater inheritance. And this is where I want to draw your attention to just for a little bit this morning, because, again, we tend to get lost here in this world. And I don't mean that this world, well, the world is bad. God says it's bad. It's all infected by sin. If you look at something that's infected, you look at it and you go, ooh, it's painful. It's miserable. But we still see some good in it because God created it as good, and so there's still some beauty left to it. But this is not our world. And by the way, I'm not talking just the ministers. I'm talking about all those who are the sons and the daughters of the living God. Because we're all, as it would be, priests to God in that sense. Our inheritance is not here. This is not our final stop. This is a passing through place. We are pilgrims, as in a pilgrim's progress. He didn't want to stay where, in his home, even with his family. He wanted to go to that celestial city, that wonderful place where the glory of God resided. And so this is the picture we're to see here. So, in chapter 13, he covers these first areas. And again, read through them and you can see how it's marked on the map. And it designates the same thing it says in the Word of God here. And you can see that where Reuben ended up and where Gad ended up and where part of the tribe, the half-tribe of Manasseh, that's where it gets a little confusing, with a half-tribe here and a half-tribe there. But then he goes into chapter 14. Now, this is actually titled Caleb's Request in mind. It has some. But it's not just about Caleb. It's about these other tribes, the nine tribes and the half-tribe, and the lands that they're going to be apportioned out in Canaan here. Beyond the Jordan, or, you know, on this side of the Jordan. But then it gets down, and it exaggerates them to some point. It starts on them, but then it gets to Caleb. And y'all remember Caleb. Caleb was with Joshua, and he speaks of this here, that he's coming to Joshua with the others now to say, you know, I was there with you, Joshua. You remember me, Caleb here. I was the one who stood with you when all the others who were also called to spy out the land, and you can look that back up if you want in Numbers and read about that, and they went in and spied out the land, and only two of them came back with what was called a good report. And the good report was, I mean, it wasn't that they denied, again, that there were a great many people, that fortified cities, that there were giants there. But the reality was that we can take them. We can go in and beat them. Because we've got God. And so he was faithful. And now he's coming up and he's saying, you know the word which the Lord spoke to me. This is in verse 6, the second part of it. You know the word that the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. And then he tells us a little more about himself. And again, reminding you of the same age, about the same age as Joshua. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. I love the reading there. As it was, I brought back as I saw it. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. Now, I want to stop there just for a second because I don't want to build Caleb up to be more than he was. He was still a sinful man. And when he said, I followed the Lord God, my God fully, he meant as best as I could with the directions that he had given me. And my heart loving and trusting him, I followed him fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. Because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. He was 40 then. He's now 45. He was 45. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So now he's 85.
He's 85. He was 40 when he went in. Now he's 45 years later. But I like this part here. So he's 85 years old. And again, 85 years old makes hell look young, makes me look younger. And he says, and I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. He's saying at this point to Joshua, I'm ready to take my inheritance and I'm ready to go to war for it. I'm 85 years old and it doesn't matter because I'm as strong then, now as I was then. I'm assuming this was actually the case. That God had sustained his strength. Now then, Joshua. I even like the wording how it's used here. Give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim was there. Remember, Anakim was those that were among the giants. That Anakim was there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. What courage we see in this rather old man, ready to say, you know, I'm 85, but I'm ready to make claims to this land. Because you promised it to me and to my generation. So how much should we as young men and women of God have courage to take the claims and the promises that he's given to us for generation and generation? And we don't have to go in and take over cities, thankfully. But we are in war. There's still a war going on, as it would be. The war's been won, but the battles are still being fought. Satan seems to not know he lost for some reason. Or he knows he lost and just still wants to try to thwart the purposes of God. But he says, I will drive them out as God has spoken. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, or the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord of Israel fully. Key words there at the end of the sentence, because he followed the Lord of Israel fully. And this should be the heart of us. That we should be able to go in and say to God, God, I want what you have promised to me, and I want to fight the battles that you have set before me. And I trust that you'll give me the strength necessary for each one, and the wisdom in dealing with these. And that we, as we're looking at this and we're seeing these wonderful promises finally being fulfilled. This was a people that waited 40 years. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were the only two left of the generation who went to spy out the land. Moses had died on the other side. All the people from that generation, because of their sinfulness, because of their wickedness and their unbelief, all died here. So this was the next generation coming up. They'd heard year in and year out, where are we going, Mom and Dad? We're going to the promised land. Where is it? It's over there. When will we get it? You'll get it when we get there. You know, and it's kind of like the drive in the car type thing. And now they're finally coming to it. And again, this may seem dry reading to us. But for the Israelites to read this again and again, this is like stuff they would read to their children at night. To say, and here's the great story of how we ended up here and how God blessed us with this land. They didn't have the visible maps either. All of them, I'm sure. Some of them may have had them. So they had to know where these cities were at. So the moms and dads would probably tell them when it was up here, you know, 20 miles, I'm using miles, from this other city. And it carried over to the sea, because we see some of it going to the sea. Or it ended at the Jordan, because they would know where the Jordan was. And they would hear these stories of, well, how come we're different places for different people? Because remember, the tribes, although they were apportioned as land, this later became different separate countries, as it would be. And so we see great changes taking place. But this is the way God had apportioned it out. And this was an important time for them. This was the time that they were waiting for. And there was still much work that needed to be done. And we'll get into that as we look at some more of this in the next week. But again, my encouragement is we see this. We see the promises being fulfilled here, being brought to fruition. And we have to see Christ in all of this. Because this is the reality. This is pointing to Christ, to the promised land, to that great place where Christ has promised us a better place, a better inheritance, a far better inheritance in this little itty-bitty country that God portioned out for them. So this will be yours. And this is where you'll reside and where I'll reside with you. And yet God says, I'm going to give you something far greater than that. I'm giving you the whole world, a whole new kingdom, a new heaven and new earth. And so how much more should we, as we wander through this land, be going, how much longer? Will we be there soon? Because we should be desiring, again, not this world, not the things of this world, but rather the greater inheritance that God has promised. We should be pointing the children to this, not so that they can just grow up to be good citizens. Good citizens are good. But we want them to be good citizens of the kingdom of God. We want them to grow up looking forward to something more than what can I get out of this world. Again, one's not exclusive of the other. You can't say, well, yeah, you shouldn't want to be anything except to grow up, die, go to heaven. Grow up and be useful in this world that God has placed us in. But this should not be our final desire or destiny. We should be looking to something far greater, a place that God has apportioned out, where Christ has said, I've gone on ahead, and in my Father's house I am building, as it would be, rooms. But it's not really the picture it would be. I'm building a place for you. I'm getting it all together for you. So I encourage you, as we continue reading through these, and like I say, we have two more weeks of looking through these different portions. Mark them off as we go. Maybe take a pencil and outline the ones that we looked at today, the ones that we'll be looking at next week, and the ones we'll be looking at in 2 weeks after that. And see how God has done this. And then, if you're really courageous and really desiring to look at stuff, look at the tribes themselves. Some tribes actually did a better job of certain things than others. Go back in there and look at the tribes and see who did what from what tribe. You might be able to better ascertain for yourself, well, why did God do this for this tribe? Why did He do that for that tribe? And why did He put this one here over by the ocean and then another one over near the desert? How does God do these things? Is it just without thinking? I don't think so. Our God's way past that. Every little detail has something to say about it. So I encourage you, give this more consideration than just a brief glance and going, oh yeah, that's nice. But understanding that the history of God's people here has to do with the history of God's people here as well. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank You that even as You had promised to these people so many years before, that you are going to accomplish something in our lives. And by their own bad efforts and unbelief, it was for one generation put off, and then another generation saw that you still fulfilled your promise. And their children did roam in these lands, and they were blessed to be a part of a kingdom that was unique in all of history. And yet we are blessed to also be part now of a kingdom. Not of just something that's yet to come, but something that already is. That the kingdom is here, and that we are blessed to be a part of that. And that right now our portion is in this world, and that we are to be about the work you have set before us in this world. So help us, Lord, to seek your wisdom in that. And to be about it as best as we can be, so that we are able to speak clearly the truth of Christ and the gospel and your love for lost men. So that we might, in our lifetimes, be able to see many people come to a saving knowledge of who you are. To watch the children grow up from little, beautiful little tiny babies to those who become irresistibly lovely and then, I'm not even thinking the word, Lord, when they just are unwilling to do anything we put before them. But then, as they continue to grow, as they grow to be good and godly men and women of God, that we might be blessed in seeing that as well. Even as some of them have grown to have their own children, and some of those children are now growing up, and so we've had some in our congregation who have been great grandparents, and pray that we will have more of that. But we pray, Lord, that as we look back, that we will see then your great working hand. And now, as we look in the present and toward the future, that we will see your hand still working, and even toward a yet greater purpose of bringing in that most beautiful of all kingdoms, the kingdom where you will reside as king forever, where we will no longer have different political groups and people pushing for their own agendas, but we will all be delighting in your agenda, that you will be king, we will be your people, where there will be no more sin, where there will be no more sickness or sorrow. Lord God, we pray that we would always be looking toward that time, looking for it with delight and with a desire to be here for the time you have given us and to be faithful with that time. But always saying as Paul, to be here is good, but to be with the Lord is better. So we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen.